there are times when you prepare yourself for a sermon, you prepare yourself for what you want to say, and then something speaks to you in the midst of a service, and you want to frame what you're about to say with those words. I recognize working in a hospital that's a psychiatric hospital, and I recognize the time of year that this is, of where everyone is speaking of rejoicing and being joyful and being happy, that those aren't always the feelings that we have. And I want you to hear that that is okay. Talking about joy and looking for the joy is something for us to look towards, for something for us to find deep in our hearts of how Jesus can change us and be with us. It doesn't mean that we always have to be smiling. It doesn't mean that we always have to be happy and cheerful. I say these words just because I want to recognize that before we begin. And I'll probably repeat myself in this, but I felt important enough to at least frame it, to know that it's okay to have many different feelings because they're all given to us by God. Speaking of fond memories, do you remember those days of name games? We may still play them today. You know, the ones where we have to turn to another person and share three things about ourselves, and then to find out that we have to actually pay attention because we're going to introduce them to the whole group. Or the one where it's the ball toss, where you say your name and then you throw it to another person and ask what their name is, in the hopes that we can remember all 25 names by the end of it. I just love camp. But the one that I dreaded the most was when they said, find an adjective that goes with your name, that starts with the first letter of your name. How I wanted my middle name so badly then. I wanted to be Dazzling David. I wanted to be Daring David. But I had Jay. And I thought to myself, what comes with Jay other than, let's see, we have jolly, we have joyful, we have jazzy. We have all these different ones that kind of pinpoint a certain way of being. And I didn't really like it until I went to one camp, and I remember the girl, her name was Jill, and she had to go before I did. So I'm like, okay, well, which one's she gonna pick? Joyful, jazzy, or jolly? And then the most amazing thing happened. She said, I'm Jovial Jill. I love it. I'm taking it. Obviously, I couldn't use it that day. I had to go with jolly. Actually, you know what I didn't do is I didn't listen to my English understanding of what an adjective was, and I said Junk Food John, and that stuck forever, and it stuck because they said that's not an adjective, and it stuck because they said, oh, you want some potato chips? I'm like, no, it's okay. But Jovial John became the one that I would start using after that, and then it would begin to haunt me. Because as soon as you start saying that, everyone say, hey, Jovial John. Hey, Jolly John. And what happens on that day when you don't feel so hot and you're starting to be a little bit crabby? But you're Jovial John. Why are you acting this way? And then all of a sudden I become apologetic for who I am and why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. In the Gospel of John, John is being asked who he is, and with each question, he's extremely consistent by expressing who he is not. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not a prophet. But I am a witness that points to the light. In John, we all of a sudden hear the story about John the Baptist that interrupts the cosmic birth story. And he's first described of who he is not. And then we jump to the verses of 19 through 28, where he's answering the questions. And just as I have said, he would say, I am not the Messiah, I am not Elijah. And the questioning of John's identity leads to John's adamant denial of what he is not. But even in these negatives, John identifies himself in, through, and by his relationship with Jesus. Whereas Jesus defines himself as I am, John is clear to say, I am not. He's not the Messiah. He's not the light that shines in the darkness. But his role is one to testify to that light that is coming into the world. Something that we had heard in Isaiah that said, a voice in the wilderness will call out. And here he is. A human voice, a human witness that helps us to understand God is about the new creation through Jesus. Sending John as a witness helps us because as human as we are, we may not even recognize that it's going to happen. So John of the third Sunday of Advent is the John that points to Jesus and says, behold, did you see him? It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And for John's gospel, sin is not only a moral laxity or the various transgressions that we have committed that we so easily count on a daily basis, but yet that sin is an unbelief that has a tragic consequence of separation from God. So, here comes Christmas. And I can admit that I have a few feelings running through my body even in this moment. I will admit that while even sitting here, I was going through going, what do I need to get done this afternoon? I've got this to buy, that to get. But I have feelings of excitement. I'm excited for the kids, not only mine, but others, and seeing how the season is through their eyes. I'm feeling anxious because I have many expectations and commitments to get through that it almost seems impossible to finish them. I will say that I am cranky. I recognize that I have not had a lot of sleep. I feel overwhelmed. I have a lot of loose ends that need tightening up that I can't get to. I get very happy, and then I get very sad. And then all of a sudden I have those strange feelings of where I'm happy but I'm sad at the same time that I can't even understand myself. I feel guilty. I haven't done enough. I haven't gotten enough. I haven't celebrated enough. I haven't decorated enough. I haven't done the right things to bring cheer. And then the one that bothers me the most is that I get jealous. Gosh, look at their tree. Wish mine looked like that. Oh my gosh, did you hear what they're getting their children? Ugh. Mm-mm-mm. I liked how they decorated. Ooh, I like those plates. I wish I had those. And then I become apologetic. I'm so sorry I couldn't make your party the other day. I'm so sorry that I haven't gotten that gift to you in time. I'm sorry that I haven't made your favorite meal. I'm sorry that I haven't done what I thought you expected of me. Advent is supposed to be about preparing for the expectant coming of Christ. But sometimes it feels more like it's the preparing for the expectant, perfect Christmas card. This time of year brings out vulnerable parts of our human nature, and it brings out the insecurities and almost a life in review that sometimes is thinner than a magazine, than what I like to put up on my Instagram to look like an exciting novel. Sure, it's a time when we think about others and giving. But I know that we get lost in it. And although I tell myself every year, don't get caught up, John, in the busyness and the distractions. Instead, refocus on what's coming. Remember what we're celebrating. But I fail, and I come right back where I am. And that glimmer of hope and that peace and that joy all of a sudden becomes just that, just a little glimmer, even though I'm waiting for that piece that's going to be a bright, shining star. So I was thinking that instead of Christmas cards, what I needed this year, and maybe what we need, is an Advent card. Has anybody ever received an Advent card? I'll call Hallmark. But on the Advent card, what we need is a nice big picture of John the Baptist in his scruffy locust-eating glory, decked out in his camel hair with his fingers pointing right at you. And on the inside it says, "Stop it! You fool! Get your act together! Christ is coming." Season's greetings. Is that right? Would that be a good one? All right. So maybe Hallmark won't be inviting me to write their new cards. But I do think that we almost need that all of a sudden quick snap and saying, "Hey, you know what? You're right. It's direct. It's to the point. And I need to get my act together." It's not candy-coated. It's not making all these different feelings that need to come around. But it's saying, "Hey, remember what you're doing. Snap out of it and get to business, because Christ is coming." His message for preparing for the coming of Messiah also comes with a part of repentance. And repentance is oftentimes remembering of going, "Oh, we need to repent of our sins," which we do. But it's also saying when we repent, we're refocusing. We're changing our focus again. Repent, change, refocus. Think about what you're doing. And here we are of having John that's reminding us to refocus. Repent. Refocus. Don't get caught in what's going on around you, but refocus on the bigger picture. Focus on what's going to be bringing us peace and hope and love. And as we express it today, joy. I was with some colleagues the other day, and we were talking about joy, and I was going to be preaching about joy, and they kept on saying, "Well, you know, think about, John, what makes you happy?" And I said, "You know what? I don't think those two words are the same." I said, and they were sitting there going, "No, it is, it is." I said, "No, I don't think it is." So, of course, I had to go onto Wikipedia and look it up, A, to show that I was right, and B, to sit there and say, "You know what? There's something that's different, and I know there's a difference." When you think of joy, and when you look it up, joy is something that is a spiritual experience. It is something that happens and continues to change the way that you do things. It's a moral lifestyle, and it produces a way of wanting to do things for others, for caring, for giving. It's just in you, of being joyful. And along with joyfulness, you can have all those other feelings. And happiness is just that fleeting moment of being excited in that moment and that elation that you get from having something that's material around you or from some kind of earthly experience. I have a surprise birthday party. I was surprised. I was excited. I was happy. That was the moment. But joy is knowing that we went out of our way and did these things and have done wonderful things for other people, or have cared for those that we love. Deep down inside, that's the joy. And that's what John is telling us and is what is asking us to prepare ourselves for. So he may come off harsh, he may come off a little rough on the edges, but his message is this: joy is coming. And because of that joy, we'll be able to change the way that we do things. We can refocus and we can look and do so much better than we have before. So as we get ready to prepare ourselves in this next coming week, let us refocus. Let us be excited about some of the things that we are doing and not get bombarded by it. And a lot of times I know that people will sit there and say, "Oh, you know, don't worry about doing all these different things and being stressed out." But it reminded me of a movie, which I can't believe it reminded me of it. actually reminds you of any Christmas movie, all has the same theme to it. It's, you know, they do something, they get frustrated, then all of a sudden they have a light bulb that turns on, and then everything's great. But the Cranks, Christmas with the Cranks, has anybody ever seen that? I heard an awe. Oh, you seen it? Okay. Christmas with the Cranks is a great movie of where there's a couple that decide to skip over Christmas this year because they feel like they have done so much and have spent so much money, and they didn't really feel like they got anything out of it, and so this year they're going to do something for themselves by going on a trip. They're going to go on a Caribbean cruise. And so they decide to skip Christmas. But in the midst of all that, they recognize, well, they don't recognize it yet, of course, because it's a nice movie, but they have all the different people around kind of getting upset that they're not doing the Christmas party. They're not giving out gifts. They're not putting up the tree. They're not putting up the frosty that's on a roof. You'll understand that if you go and watch the movie. I have it if anybody needs it. And it's on Netflix. Is it really? And I bought it? Oh, well. So through all this, when they realize that their daughter that's coming home for Christmas and is looking forward to everything that they do of the Christmas dinner and the decorations because she wants to share it with her fiance that's never experienced an American Christmas, all of a sudden the entire community comes together and throws it together for them. And they recognize that what they thought was a burden, what they thought was a troublesome, was actually something that brought joy. Not only to others, but it brought joy to them. And it wasn't until it was gone that they saw that joy. So my hope and my personal, I guess, goal for this week is that I'm going to continue doing the things that I'm doing, but I'm going to do it with a heart of joyfulness. So even though I don't feel like baking cookies, I don't feel like hanging ornaments, I'm going to do it with a joyful heart instead. Instead of looking at it as something that is a struggle, something that is a burden, I'm going to try and refocus and recognize what it is that I'm doing. And I invite you, if you're struggling as well, to maybe do a little refocus and think about that Advent card of stop it. Snap out of it and remember what you're preparing for. Amen. Amen. Amen.